Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, March 7th, 2021. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody had a great week. Early happy birthday to my brother Brian. His birthday is on March 9th, so giving him a birthday shout out. We've got a lot to get into this week, so here's the topics and then we'll jump into it. So with this edition of the Weekender, we are talking results for Beyond Wrestling Signature Series, Impact Wrestling, and we have predictions for Sacrifice. That's this upcoming Saturday on Impact Plus. We have results for Ring of Honor, MLW Fusion, NXT UK, 205 Live, GCW. I got a recap of the latest Being in the Elite episode titled Back When You Were a Jobber. And I have some quick AEW Revolution predictions for you right before we get out of here. So, a lot to get to on this edition, so let's jump right in. And as you know, I always start off with my recommended show to watch on independentwrestling.tv, and the show that I've chosen this week is Jersey All-Pro Wrestling's Smarts Only. So this is actually a show from JAPW from 2002 that was just recently uploaded onto IWTV. So obviously, IWTV has a giant back catalog of stuff you can watch. Normally, I pick a show that's more recent, but because next week, I know my recommended show will be New South Pro Wrestling's Haas Tournament. They did a two-night show that was Saturday night, which was last night at the time of this recording, as well as Friday night. So it was a Friday and Saturday show, and it was a two-night tournament that also included a lot of great non-tournament action. And that's the show, as long as it's uploaded on the site by next weekend, that will be my recommended show to talk about next weekend, and then I'll talk about the results of that the following week. So it gives you plenty of time to watch these shows without me spoiling it, and there was some pretty big stuff that went down on the New South shows. They had the tournament winner, there was a 16-person tournament, and there was also an IWTV title match between Warhorse and the winner of the Masked Wrestler Season 1, which was Genkai. But we find out who Genkai is. It was revealed and he has a match, he or she, I should say, has a match with Warhorse for the title. So, really, really good stuff from New South Pro Wrestling this past weekend. And this show I'm going to talk about today, once again from 2002, is Jersey All Pro Wrestling. And the show is called Smarts Only. They have a lot of JAPW wrestling available on IWTV. And if you want to watch any of the stuff I'm talking about, whether it's this show here or the shows that I talked about from this past weekend that I'm sure will be up this week, use my code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK, all as one word, no spaces, and you can watch IWTV, use the service for free for 5 days. Watch as much independent wrestling as you want for 5 days using code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK. So, yeah, check it out. The show that I'm recommending today, once again, Jersey All Pro Wrestling's Smarts Only. These are the matches on that card from Friday, June 7th of 2002. That is wild. Almost 20 years ago. There's going to be some names on here that you recognize. We had Chino Martinez versus Stryker. And Stryker is Matt Stryker, who we now know on commentary with Impact Wrestling. Of course, he had a stint with the WWE on commentary as well as in the ring with WWE ECW. We had JC North versus Slick Wagner Brown. Amazing Red versus Tony Lazzaro. And Amazing Red is one of the guys that got me into professional, into independent professional wrestling. That's what I'm trying to say. I was really, really into early TNA. A lot of it had to do with the fact that Amazing Red was on that show. I always give him a ton of credit. Amazing Red really is one of those guys that heavily influenced the current generation of wrestlers. And I don't think that Amazing Red gets the credit that he deserves. A lot of people do bring him up, and he is a lot of people's, one of their favorite wrestlers. He gets brought up, but he doesn't really get put in the same category as I think he really should for what he really has done to change what we now know is kind of modern independent wrestling. We had The Sheik taking on J-Train, April Hunter versus Valentina, Jay Lethal and Rainchild versus the SAT, the team of Joel and Jose Maximo, and the team of Wasted Youth, Deranged and Insane Dragon, in a triple threat tag team match. And of course, right there, you got Jay Lethal, who we're going to talk about Ring of Honor later on today's show. But Jay Lethal, part of Ring of Honor, one of their greatest, long-term heavyweight champions and TV champions and involved in the pure title mix and tag team title, you know, champions with Jonathan Gresham and all that stuff. So Jay Lethal, of course, Black Machismo and all the stuff he did in TNA, you know, this is back in 2002. You can check out some early Jay Lethal stuff. The SAT was also a team that was heavily involved with the early TNA days. And they're the ones, to my knowledge, they're the ones who, they're the first people I ever saw do a Spanish Fly, which was I've never seen the two-man Spanish Fly that they do, where basically they both get up on the top rope and they do a Spanish Fly simultaneously onto, you know, one opponent. And I think they invented the move. I could be totally wrong, but they're the first people I ever saw do it. And yeah, I mean, that's something I'll always remember about the SAT, because that move is so impressive. And now we see it, you know, used so often as a single person move. We rarely see it as a tag team move. And once again, I don't know for sure if they invented the move. They're definitely the first people I saw do it, though. And the fact that it's called the Spanish Fly and it's the SAT that does it, I figured that they probably named the move. But once again, I could be wrong. I mean, I went years in my childhood thinking that Billy Kidman invented the shooting star press. You know what I mean? I didn't know that Jushin Thunder Liger had been doing that move before, you know, I was really invested in wrestling as a kid. After that, we had the Hit Squad, the team of Mafia and Monster Mac, taking on the Shaolin Wrecking Crew, the team of Magic and Tsuba. We had a JAPW television title match between Ghost Shadow and Dixie. We had a tap-out match between Loki and American Dragon Brian Danielson. So that matchup right there is worth checking the show out alone. Loki, you know, really, really, I don't know how to really put it. Like, big-time veteran of independent wrestling. Very short run in the WWE as Caval, but did amazing stuff in Ring of Honor, did amazing stuff in TNA Wrestling. Currently doing great work with MLW. I mean, Loki's been around for forever, and whether he's, you know, Loki, I think he was called Senshi for a while in Impact Wrestling, if I remember correctly, and American Dragon, Brian Danielson, of course, the current day Daniel Bryan, one of the biggest, most well-known professional wrestlers in the world. You know, what can you really say about American Dragon, Brian Danielson, that hasn't been said? For those of you who are maybe listening to this as newer wrestling fans, I would highly recommend checking out Brian Danielson's work on the independents prior to him signing with WWE, because some of the best matches you could ever watch happen and involve Danielson, and they happened in the early 2000s. And, you know, this stuff here with Loki is great, and I really miss Brian Danielson on the indies. Like, he's had a great career for himself in the WWE, and I would never, like, you know, advocate him leaving the WWE with the, you know, amazing situation he has with that company. But selfishly, I would love to see him mix it up with, like, the current generation of independent wrestlers and a lot of the current roster of AEW. Because I bet you if you asked every wrestler that's currently signed to AEW or currently on the independents right now, I bet most of them would bring up Brian Danielson if they were asked, you know, favorite all-time wrestlers. So awesome to see that on this show. And then two more people that I could put in the same category as Danielson and Loki. The main event of this show, we had the JAPW heavyweight title on the line, Homicide taking on Steve Corino. Homicide, of course, longtime indie veteran, had some runs. I mean, his run in LA with LAX and TNA, I thought was really, really good. He, you know, was a former Ring of Honor world champion. Him and Loki and Brian Danielson all were. But yeah, I mean, Homicide's a guy that I still think we might wind up seeing on AEW or something in the near future. Like, I feel like if Eddie Kingston can have a career resurgence, then why couldn't Homicide? And, you know, if you haven't seen Homicide for whatever reason, check these kind of shows out. You know, check out Jersey All Pro, check out early Ring of Honor, all that kind of stuff. I mean, and once again, Homicide's run in Impact Wrestling / TNA was really, really good. And then on the other side, you have Steve Corino, former ECW champion, you know, current day producer for WWE, very, very well respected guy. And he was definitely one of my favorite wrestlers in the dying days of ECW, like the original ECW, because he was, you know, one of their last champions, and most of their big quote-unquote stars were getting signed to WWE and WCW at the time, And Carino was one of their main players there for a minute, and I thought he did a really, really good job in that role. And I really liked him with Jack Victory. And Jack Victory never gets brought up anymore, but I was a fan of his. Like, I was a fan of their pairing, like their friendship and their team and stuff. So, shout out to Jack Victory. That's a guy that never gets brought up anymore in any wrestling conversations. But yeah, check this show out. Once again, it was Jersey All Pro Wrestling, Smarts Only, and you can find it right now on independentwrestling.tv. Once again, use code FIGHTTALK, watch the show for free, and get a free 5-day trial over there at IWTV. And speaking of IWTV, another show you can watch is Beyond Wrestling Signature Series. And this is a show that I'm going to keep y'all updated on every week, as long as they're doing it. This is week 2 of their Signature Series on IWTV, and this week we had Aaron Rourke defeating Delmi Exo. The finish came with a package DDT. It was really nice. It was like it was kind of like how Seth Rollins, back when he was Tyler Black, his finishing move was called the God's Last Gift. And if you know what that move is, it was a lot like that, except they got dropped straight on their head like a DDT. Really nice move. Really well done. After that, we had a Tournament for Tomorrow match where Edith Surreal and Jackson DuPont defeated the team of the Shook Crew, Bobby Orlando and Bryce Donovan. And this was a nice finisher as well, another DDT variation where Edith hits what I would call a straitjacket DDT. I'm not sure what they called the move, but basically you grab the hands of your opponent and cross them as you pull in, so they kind of wrap their arms around their own chest, and now that their arms are no longer, you know, they're wrapped up, then you like pull them right under your arm and hit a DDT. Once again, kind of hard to explain as I'm like, you know, trying to have you visualize this, but I would consider it to be a straitjacket DDT. It was really nice, and so the team of Surreal and DuPont move on in the Tournament for Tomorrow tournament. It's a Tournament for Tomorrow tournament. And after that, in the main event of the show, the last match we had, and this was a really, really good match, and they gave it a lot of time, really well done, great wrestling. We had Matt Mikowski defeating Wheeler Yuta, and the finish here came from basically what I would call a top rope wasteland into an armbar. So Mikowski has Wheeler Yuta up, I guess technically on the second rope. So Mikowski's standing on the second rope, and he has Yuta up in a fireman's carry, and he throws him down how Wade Barrett used to do the wasteland, where you like throw him down on your back, and he comes down with Yuta off the second rope and throws him down on his back from his shoulders. And as Yuta's falling, Mikowski grabs Yuta's arm midair and starts wrenching in the armbar, and Yuta taps out. But it was really well done. I thought these matches were all good. I especially liked Mikowski versus Yuta. And I really like the finishing moves here. I mean, the Wasteland was a pretty weak finisher, but the Wasteland right into an armbar, I think, works really well. And I talk about it all the time. The DDT is one of my favorite moves ever. Even just like the old school Jake the Snake, basic DDT, I think is a great finishing move. I always loved Raven using it as the Even Flow DDT and WCW and the Raven Effect and all that stuff. Like, I think a good DDT should be a finisher, and I love that Jon Moxley uses variations of it with his Death Rider and his Paradigm Shift and stuff like that. Like, I think the DDT really should be a move that's protected more as a finisher, because as basic as it is in today's wrestling, the concept of the move still holds up just like any other move would, right? I mean, just the idea that if somebody grabbed you by the head in a guillotine choke, or guillotine position, fell back and just dropped you straight on your head, you know, that's a pretty damn legitimate finishing move, no matter who you are, in my opinion. So it was cool to see two variations of DDTs getting the finishes on the Beyond Wrestling Signature Series, which once again you can watch at any time on IWTV. Use code FIGHTTALK. All right, now let's talk some Impact Wrestling. So if you want to watch myself and Joel Pearl, and every other week, Jeremy Lambert, sometimes different third guests, but myself and Joel Pearl every week on the Fightful Gaming Twitch channel, we are doing watch-alongs of Impact Wrestling. So join us on Tuesdays. We have the show there live on screen. We got like a big screen where you can watch the show with us. And myself and Joel are both on camera. And once again, Jeremy Lambert joins us every other week. And then we are having some other guests on. It's been a lot of fun. We get to interact with the chat, answer questions, just kick it, have a good time, and watch Impact Wrestling. So watch along with us once again every Tuesday. We go live usually a few minutes before the show starts. So give or take 10 minutes before 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. So what I'm going to do today, because we're going to get into sacrifice predictions here in a second, I'm going to run through the results for Impact's Tuesday show, which once again, if you watched live, you already got a lot of my thoughts on it because, you know, we watched the show live. But I'll give you the results, and then I'm going to give you some predictions for Sacrifice coming up this weekend on Impact Plus. So on this edition of the Tuesday show of Impact on Twitch, or Access TV, depending on where you watch it, we had Ace Austin defeating Chris Bay and Black Taurus, got the win with the fold to become the number one contender for TJP's X Division Championship. So I'll give you my predictions for that here in a minute. And by the way, I think the fold always looks good, and I think it's great that Ace Austin can hit that move from pretty much anywhere, because he usually does like the running version of it, but I've seen him do it where he jumps off the ropes and springboards different positions and stuff. I've seen him reverse moves into it, so it's cool how he can creatively hit that finishing move pretty much from anywhere. After that, we had Tennille Dashwood defeat Havoc with the spotlight kick, which I'm totally fine with. It's pretty clear that they're going to be pushing Tennille towards a championship opportunity in the near future, which I'm fine with. I mean, Tennille's good. Her wrestling is good. She has an interesting character. Caleb with a K is good as her, you know, manager slash, you know, person who helps her get wins and stuff like that. And she's a recognizable figure, you know, from, you know, like all the work she's done in WWE and all that stuff. And if anyone watched her Ring of Honor run, which was really good, but very short. So it looks pretty clear that Tennille's getting a pretty big push with Impact, and I'm totally fine with that. It totally makes sense. After that, we had the Good Brothers defeating the Good Brothers and Finn Juice defeating Reno Scum and Team Triple XL. The Good Brothers and Finn Juice will be wrestling for the belts on Sacrifice. But once again, Good Brothers get the win for the team after hitting a magic killer for the 1-2-3, and they basically set up more for their Impact match between the two teams on the show, and that is of course what we're going to get. And I'll give you my predictions here in a minute for that. After that, we had Eddie Edwards defeating Brian Myers. Matt Cardona was a special referee, and basically what happened is Matt Cardona DQs Brian Myers because Myers looked like he was loading up his like elbow pad. And, you know, Myers has been using a lariat as his finishing move. So it looked like he was putting like a weight or something metal or something in his armband or his elbow pad. And Cardona caught him doing that. So he DQ'd him. So we're going to get more of that story. You know, I've talked about that a lot. I don't want to sound like a broken record. The feud just really isn't doing it for me, and I think a lot of people who watch the show agree. But I'm a fan of all the wrestlers involved. It's just the story just doesn't make sense, and it has a lot to do with kayfabe and knowing the kayfabe's dead, but like not wanting my intelligence insulted like that badly. Anyways, if you want my full thoughts on that, you can listen to previous episodes of The Weekender. I don't want to bore anyone who listens to this regularly. I've said this 1,000 times about this feud. And in the main event, we had Deonna Purrazzo defeating Jordan Grace and Kiera Hogan. The finish came when Deonna rolls up Jordan Grace for the 1-2-3. Only issue I have with this at all. Okay, and I know there's plenty of people who don't agree, but Deonna should be winning, right? She's the champion. She should keep winning. I think she's a great champion. I think Deonna Purrazzo is one of the best female wrestlers in the entire world, regardless of promotion. Like, I really, really think she's a huge asset to any company, and I think she's the right person to be the Impact Wrestling Knockouts champion right now. So, want to preface all that, but she beats Jordan Grace too often. Every time her and Jordan Grace are in the ring together, Jordan Grace loses to her. This was an opportunity to have, if Purrazzo would have pinned Kiera Hogan, No problem with that at all for me, because Kira Hogan's still one half of the tag team champions with Tasha Steelz. They still have their own thing going on. You know, Perrazzo beating Jordynne Grace, it's like, I don't know. I guess there's also something to that. Like, maybe if they make kind of more of a story out of it where they really recognize that and they use that, like Jordynne Grace, the one person she that just has her number is Deonna Purrazzo. I mean, maybe there's something there. But, you know, Jordynne lost the knockout title to Deonna Purrazzo, then lost the rematch, and then just got pinned in this too. And it's like, all right. I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of taking crazy pills. I feel like I see this massive star in Jordynne Grace. And maybe it's, you know, maybe she won't be in Impact Wrestling for too much longer. There's a lot of speculation she could be leaving in upcoming months and stuff like that. So maybe that has something to do with it, and that's totally possible. But I want to see Jordynne Grace getting a big push wherever she's at, because she's very talented. She has a unique look. She has a unique in-ring style. Like, she's, I think she's money. But so is Deonna Purrazzo. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like, once again, they had an out here where Purrazzo could have beat Kira. And, sorry, Kira. I always call her Kira, by the way. I dated a girl named Kira, like, when I was younger. And that name is just engraved into my brain. I know it's Kiera. So I'm going to try to do better of pronouncing it correctly, because I know I screw that up every week. But, once again, you can't blame me. Like, when you know, for example, there's a guy named Adam Thielen who plays for the Minnesota Vikings, one of the best receivers in the league. And my dad, who's a lifelong Minnesota Vikings fan, calls him Adam Thielen every time because he worked with a lady with the last name Thielen that spells it the same way for 30 years. So, like, no matter what, he knows it's Thielen, but his brain always says Thielen because that's how he has pronounced the exact spelling of that name for 30 years. So, anyways, that's my little side rant of when I mess people's names up every now and then, that's why. But anyways, that all being said, Purrazzo gets the win. No problem with Purrazzo winning, just wish you wouldn't have pinned Jordynne Grace. That's all I'm going to say there. And I am looking forward to the Knockouts Tag Team title match that's coming up between Hogan, Steelz, Grace, and Jazz. I think that's going to be really, really good. So, oh, and also, I need to mention ODB came out after the match, and they are setting up ODB as the next challenger for Deonna Purrazzo's Knockouts title. So let's talk sacrifice, let's talk predictions, because a lot of that kind of led up to what we're going to talk about here. So Impact Knockouts tag team titles, we were just talking about the women, so let's start there. We have Fire and Flava taking on Jordynne Grace and Jazz. If it was up to me, Jordynne Grace and Jazz would win, but I think Fire and Flava is a very good team. I think that they were definitely the right team to win the tournament. I'd have nothing against Steelz and Hogan at all. I'm just a bigger fan of Jordynne Grace and Jazz. It's literally just a personal thing. Not them on a personal level. I have nothing against any of them, like, as people at all. But if it was up to me, once again, like, I like Jordynne Grace and Jazz a little bit better. I think that Jordynne Grace versus Jazz is a really interesting feud that we haven't gotten. It's a match we've gotten once, but it was kind of no build-up, and they can definitely do better in a rematch. So, but, like, that being said, I feel like Fire and Flava, once again, they were the right team to win the titles, and they're probably the right people to win this match. They probably really are, because I think, once again, it's the booking of Jordynne Grace to me has been strange lately, and Jazz looks more and more like she's going to get a Knockouts title match at some time in the near future. So I don't think Jordynne Grace and Jazz are going to be a team for a very long time. So as far as my actual predictions, I'm going to take Fire and Flava. I'm going to take Hogan and Steelz. They just reintroduced the titles. They've been doing great as a tag team. There's no reason to take the belts off them. So I'm going to take Steelz and Hogan to retain the Knockouts titles. I'll stick with the women here. Deonna Purrazzo versus ODB for the Knockouts title. I feel like Deonna Purrazzo should retain here. Nothing against ODB. She's been looking pretty damn good since she came back. Like, I think the fans really like seeing her again. I know there's no fans, you know, in the Impact Zone, but like the response from people that I kind of pay attention to that talk about or review Impact and stuff, most people were really happy to see ODB back. I just don't think it makes any sense to take the belt off Deonna. I wouldn't have even taken the belt off Deonna when Sue Young won it, but you know, that was supposed to be Kaylee Ray, and whatever happened there, and you know, I think Deonna Purrazzo once again is the right person to be the Impact Knockouts champion right now. She does fantastic work. I love the fact that Deonna works body parts. You know, I really, really enjoy her in-ring style and her submission-based offense. And I think ODB is going to be a really good matchup. I just don't see any reason to put the Knockouts title on ODB. So I think Purrazzo wins, and I think they make it interesting because I think ODB can go out there, hit some really good power moves, make it look believable, you know, a few times that she's going to win the belt. But I think at the end of the day, Deonna wins, you know, maybe Kimberly with the assist from the outside or something, but I think Purrazzo retains that title. After that, we have the X Division Championship on the line, TJP defending against Ace Austin. Ace Austin has to win this match, right? I mean, I feel like it's been month after month after month, and myself and Joel kind of joke about that on Twitch during the watch-alongs too, where it feels like every time TJP defends the title, it's like, okay, surely this is the person who beats TJP for the belt. And TJP keeps proving us wrong time after time. And, you know, I think TJP is very good in the ring. I think that Ace Austin's one of the best in-ring workers in the whole world. And I think Ace Austin also has one of the most interesting looks and characters and could potentially be the biggest star in the entire company. So for those reasons, I think Ace Austin should beat TJP. I expect it to be a really, really good match. Ace Austin won the X Division Cup in that tournament a few weeks ago, or I guess a couple months ago, whenever it was. It's so hard to remember with Impact because they do like the pay-per-views and they do the Impact Plus shows and all that. And of course their weekly show. But Ace Austin won that X Division Cup in a really fun tournament. You know, that finals between him and Blake Christian was great. And there's just no need for TJP to have the belt over someone like Ace Austin. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Unless Ace Austin's going to be your next world champion or something, which I don't think that's what the plans are at the moment. At least give Ace Austin the X Division title again and let him have a great run with it and have great matches against guys like Chris Bay and Willie Mack and, I mean, Rahit Raju. I mean, there's a ton of great talent in the X Division and just throughout Impact Wrestling. Even Josh Alexander was getting in the X Division title mix there, you know, a couple weeks ago. And, I mean, Ace Austin versus Josh Alexander would be fire. I mean, you know, so once again, I think Ace Austin has to win the X Division Championship, so I'm taking him. After that, we have the Impact Wrestling World Tag Team titles. The Good Brothers defending against Finn Juice. I do expect them to retain, though. I don't see any reason why Finn Juice would become the Impact World Tag Team titles, World Tag Team champions. All of the tongue-tied on this one for some reason. But I think the kind of obvious thing is to do Good Brothers versus Young Bucks. I know they've teased it on AEW and being the Elite and stuff lately, and I'll get to my Revolution predictions right at the end of the show today, but I just don't see any reason why Finn Juice should win the titles. It just wouldn't make any sense to me. And if there were fans there, I'd have to imagine that they wouldn't be nearly as over as the Good Brothers are. Just a guess of mine, just a hunch. But, you know, I don't have anything really against Finn Juice. I just don't see any reason why they should beat the Good Brothers for the Impact tag titles, especially when you have such an interesting long-term story there with them and the Young Bucks and Kenny and the Bullet Club and all that stuff and the interpromotional possibilities. And I think it's great that Finn Juice came over from New Japan to Impact, though. I love the Forbidden Door being kicked wide open, and I think this is just the very early stages of the really, really cool crossover stuff we're going to get over the next year or two or however long this partnership lasts. But I think it'll be a good match, but I think it's pretty obvious here that the Good Brothers retain. And now the main event, which I think is a really, really difficult one to predict. So we have Rich Swann defending the Impact World Championship against Moose, who is now officially the TNA champion. They have reintroduced that title as a real, like, what do you call it? Recognized, you know, championship belt in TNA or in Impact Wrestling. So this is interesting because I feel like whoever wins this match in the near future will lose this title to Kenny Omega. So the question for me is, do they have Rich Swann retain over Moose And then they do this incredible match, because in ring, Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega would be absolutely incredible. And you have that match, and, you know, Rich loses the belt to Kenny, which I think is a really good scenario. Like, I don't think there's anything bad about any of that. Or do you have Moose win, because they have done an incredible job of building Moose as a credible champion. And I really felt like when Moose got his chance, he'd win the world title from Rich Swann. But I am surprised it's happening on Impact Plus and not on a pay-per-view. So, like, part of me thinks that Rich will retain here, but then maybe Moose wins it in a rematch. I don't know. It's really hard to call, because I feel like there's no reason to make the TNA title official unless it's to unify it with the Impact World title. And they've done so much work in building Moose to this point where I could totally see him as the Impact champion. And I think he deserves it. Like, I really do. But I also think Rich Swann does. Like, you know what I mean? I'm fine. This is a classic win-win scenario for everybody involved. Because regardless of who walks away the champion, I'm totally fine with the result. Whether it's Moose or Rich Swann with that belt at the end of the night, I'm fine either way with that. And I think Moose would have an incredible match with Kenny, but for totally different reasons than Rich. I think Kenny and Rich are very similar in a lot of ways. And I think Moose and Kenny are very different in the ring. And I think that styles clash would make for a very interesting matchup, especially because we saw in the six-man match they had at the, I get all the shows screwed up, but that six-man match where Moose had to fill in for Alex Shelley, Kenny Omega got Moose up on his shoulders. He didn't hit the one-winged angel on him, but he got him up. Like, it looks like he could hit it on him. So that makes it interesting too. So as far as an official prediction though, this one is so damn difficult to call. My gut feeling is Rich Swann retaining somehow. But my overall thought process is that Moose eventually is going to win this title. So whether it happens on this show, I'd Sacrifice, or if it happens at Rebellion, the next pay-per-view, I'm not sure. But I'm going to say Moose wins the Impact World Championship. I'm just going to go for it on this show. Like, I might as well call it now, because I think he's going to win it eventually. So I'll say Moose becomes the new Impact World Champion by defeating Rich Swann in the main event of Sacrifice. So those are my predictions. And once again, you can watch that show live on Impact Plus. Just jump on their website. It's really easy to find it. Moving on with more results. We had a really important week of Ring of Honor this week. So we had two matches, and they were both title matches. We had the ROH Tag Team Championships on the line in a pure rules match. It was Kenny King and Dragon Lee defeating Jonathan Gresham and Jay Lethal to win the titles. And the caveat here, and what makes this really interesting, is this was a pure rules match, so, you know, the pure rules applied, and they had already, the team of Kenny King and Dragon Lee, the LFA, that's a MMA organization, the LFI, they had already used their one punch. If you do a closed fist punch, you get a warning, and they had already used that. And at the end of this match, Amy Rose is on the outside, for the LFI, and Jay Lethal does a tope suicida through the middle rope and accidentally hits Amy Rose. And the referee is looking at what's happening on the outside, like, oh, Rose is down, like, what's going on? And while the referee is distracted, Dragon Lee, Kenny King was later in the night. Kenny King, you'll know what I mean here in a second. And then at the end of this match, Dragon Lee does a closed fist punch straight to the face of Jonathan Gresham while the referee is distracted by what's happened on the outside and gets the 1-2-3 for the win and wins the titles. So, really interesting to see Gresham and Lethal lose the belts, but it isn't super surprising considering Gresham's still the pure champion, and I figured they'd take the tag belts off them at some point soon, so it's made sense. And I like the way that Lee and King won the match. Like, the way that they kind of cheated there to win, I thought was cleverly done. I think King and Lee are both very, very good wrestlers, you know. So, you know, I had no problem with this, and I thought it was a really good match, and the story told was really good as well. And we'll see what happens, you know, going forward with the Foundation, with Gresham, Lethal, and Tracy Williams and all those guys. And the only other match we had on the night was the ROH Championship on the line. Roosh defeated Shane Taylor by, you know, he retains the title by hitting the bull's horns. But the big kicker here was it looked like Shane Taylor was getting ready to get the win. And then Kenny King came out. That's why I was getting this all confused. Kenny King came out with a chair and hits Shane Taylor in the head with the chair, allowing Roosh to then hit the bull's horns for the 1-2-3. So, you know, King is officially, you know, aligned with LFI. And yeah, I mean, Roosh has been a damn good champion for Ring of Honor. He really has. And the circumstances of this past year didn't do him any favors as far as, like, you know, shows not being on and all that stuff. But, you know, Roosh with a big win here over Shane Taylor. And we found out next week that we're going to get Josh Woods versus Dalton Castle in a pure rules match. We're going to get Jay Briscoe versus Matt Taven versus Jay Lethal versus EC3 in a number one contender match, which is going to be really good stuff. So next week, they got a good show for Ring of Honor. And this week was really, really good with high consequences. This is the kind of stuff I think Ring of Honor should do a little more often. Put their titles on the line, you know, more during their weekly shows. Have shows like this with these double title fights and stuff. Like, why not? You got to generate some interest. You have great wrestlers on the show. They have a great roster of in-ring talent. And I think Shane Taylor did pretty damn good, you know, in this Ring of Honor World title match. He's a guy who I can definitely see as a future champion for them. So they got a lot of great talent there. And if they continue to have more title matches on their, you know, on their free show, I think it should help them quite a bit. So I really enjoyed Ring of Honor this week. Thought it was a really good show. And I'd highly recommend checking it out if you missed it. Moving on, another great show, and another show that was totally free. We have MLW Fusion. And this show, if you don't know, airs right before AEW Dynamite. So it's on at 7 p.m. Eastern for 1 hour, and then AEW starts at 8 Eastern. So it's become basically a tradition for me on Wednesday nights to watch MLW and then watch, almost at Impact, then watch AEW Dynamite. On this episode of Fusion, we had a lot of titles on the line, you know, very similar to Ring of Honor, like I was just talking about. We had the show kick off with the MLW World Tag Team titles on the line. Los Parks retained their belts over the Contra unit. The finish came when LA Park hit a spear for the 1-2-3, got the pin on Daivari. No problems here. I mean, Los Parks are the tag team champions for a reason. I think that Violence is Forever, you know, should be the tag team champions, the team of Kevin Kuhn and Dominic Carini. But I think that'll come in time. I'm a big, big supporter of Kuhn and Carini. I think if y'all listen to the show, you've heard that 1,000 times. I was supporting them back when they were known as Sad Kampf, back before they were even called Violence is Forever. I've got their t-shirt to prove it. But yeah, Los Parks retained the titles here. Not surprising. After that, we had Pero defeating Jason Duggan in a squash match. Basically hit a choke slam and a murder bomb for the 1-2-3. I love this. I think Pero's great. And I think he represents, you know, big time for the LGBT community and all that stuff. So I think that's kind of a layer to him that I think is really cool as well. So I think that, you know, Pero's a great wrestler. He's a really easy guy to support. He's a good heel too. Like, he does good babyface and heel work. So he's a guy who, and he's super believable in the ring. He's this big dude who throws people around. He's super strong, super athletic, agile. I mean, just all around, just seems like a great dude and a great wrestler. And I'm happy to see him getting this push in MLW. I really liked his work in the National Wrestling Alliance. That's where I really started to become familiar with him. So huge shout out to Pero there. And another huge shout out, we got the next match, Calvin Tankman defeating Laredo Kid. They have done a great job of making Calvin Tankman feel special, which is exactly what they should be doing. He checks every single box you want out of a pro wrestling superstar. He has the look, he has the size, the talent. The guy can jump off the ropes and hit a moonsault. The guy can jump over the ropes to the outside. The guy can pick you up over his head and slam you. He can do anything. He can talk. He's believable. He's got a good, like, he just, like, he's got this great look. Like, you see him and you're like, oh, I bet that guy can kick some ass. And then you see the way he moves, then it's like, whoa, a guy his size shouldn't be able to move that good. You know, it's really, really fun to watch. And he has been getting increasingly better and better over the years. The first time I saw him wrestle was probably like 3 years ago at SUP, Southern Underground Pro in Nashville. And he was like probably pretty new at that time. And since then, he has gotten so good. And I cannot wait to see what they do with Tankman, because it really feels like Tankman's going to be the next challenger for the MLW world title. And I am all for it, especially after I talk about this year. So the main event of the show, we had Jacob Fatu retain the MLW World Heavyweight Championship over Jordan Oliver. Got the win with the pop-up Samoan drop into the moonsault, which he, you know, I call the BME. Best moonsault ever. Yeah, that's right. Christopher Daniels. But basically the pop-up, he has the pop-up Samoan drop, but he also does the pop-up moonsault. The only issue I have at all with Jacob Fatu, because I think he is incredible. I love his look. I love his in-ring work. He looks vicious in there. Great world champion from MLW, and has been this whole time he's been the champion. The only thing that I need to point out is that he misses the moonsault too often. Like, he overshoots the moonsault a lot in his matches. It's an impressive as hell move. He looks incredible up there in the air, flipping and doing his thing. But when he comes down, he misses more often than not. And, you know, it's kind of one of those where, like, he doesn't really land chest on chest. He lands more like his face and forehead on their chest. So that's all I can say negatively at all about Jacob Fatu. Is I just think he needs to, it's similar to John Cena, right? Like, Cena would hit that STF, but his arms would be so far away from his opponent's, you know, neck and chin that people always pointed it out, because it was like, oh my gosh, like, could you at least, Stone Cold Steve Austin used to talk about it on his podcast a lot. It's like, you got to snug that up. Like, you can't just, like, it's so clear that there's this giant gap where you're not squeezing their head and twerking their neck and stuff. And I feel like that about Jacob Fatu's moonsault. Like, it looks beautiful, but he, like, half misses it every time. And is it on his opponents for being in the wrong spot? I highly doubt it, because it's happened enough times that I feel like I have to point it out. Now, that all being said, I thought this match was awesome. I thought Jordan Oliver looked great. Similar to Fatu's moonsault, I think Jordan Oliver needs to get a little bit better about connecting on his super kicks, because I see his matches. I watch like all of his stuff. I watch his indie work. We have some really good mutual friends that, you know, I'm a huge, huge, huge supporter of Jordan Oliver. I love the fact that he went 2 hours with Tony Deppen. I love what he's doing on MLW. I love what he's doing out there in the indies. I think he's going to get signed probably within the next year or so, and I think he'll be, you know, a household name in wrestling on a major TV show. I really do. I think the world of Jordan Oliver. But there's like those little things where, if I'm going to make any critique, he comes a little short on his super kick fairly often. So I'll throw that out there too. I'll be fair on both sides. But that being said, once again, this match was awesome. It was awesome. I highly recommend checking it out. Jordan Oliver looked great. And you know it's a great match when, like, I knew for sure that Fatu was going to retain the title, but Oliver was so good in this one, and Fatu sold so well, that there were points in this match that I really believed Oliver was going to become the new MLW champion. I really did. And the fact that they were able to make me believe that at all during that match, it's a total win in my opinion, from a fan perspective. So I very much enjoyed the match, and afterwards, Injustice comes out. You know, you got Myron Reed, who is out there ringside with Jordan Oliver, and Contra comes out, and Calvin Tankman winds up saving Injustice, and they're setting it up. I mean, Calvin Tankman versus Jacob Fatu for the MLW World Title. I am all about that match, and I think that Calvin Tankman will be the one to defeat Fatu for that title. I really do. I think he's the right one. I think he's the right choice. He's fresh. He's new to the company. He is putting on great matches, and all the things that I've said already about him, I think he's the right guy to defeat Fatu for that championship. Because outside of him, if it isn't Tankman in the near future. You know, MLW has a great roster, but I at this point, I feel like it's just the time's right, and there's really not that many people left for Fatu to wrestle that he hasn't already. And I feel like this the time's right, and Tankman's the right guy. And I think he would generate a lot of great, you know, kind of outside interest to MLW, because people who have been following the indies the last couple years are, you know, there's a lot of huge Calvin Tankman fans out there that I think, you know, maybe don't tune into MLW, but would if they knew he was the MLW champion. So that all being said, really, really good episode of MLW Fusion. And similar to Ring of Honor, if you can up the stakes on your shows every now and then, like having these title belts on the line, I think that adds, you know, a level of prestige to the shows and gives people more, you know, incentive to watch the shows. So once again, really, really good showing from MLW this week. Moving on to NXT UK. First match we had was Dragunov defeating Sam Gradwell. Got the win with his elbows to the side of the head. Basically, you know, crucifix position, elbows. I love that as a finish. I was talking about Daniel Bryan earlier in the show, back during his Bryan Danielson days. He won some pretty big matches with that. You know, all else would fail. He'd hit all his moves. He'd eventually just put someone in a crucifix and just elbow them in the side of the head till the referee stopped it. I like that a lot. I like that Dragunov's been doing that a lot lately. It makes sense. It makes sense for him to beat Gradwell. No problems at all with any of this. And Dragunov should be treated as something special. You know, he's probably the one to get the closest to beating Walter for the UK Championship. And he should be protected. I mean, I really think outside of Walter, I don't think he should really be losing to anybody. And they've done a great job about that. Good match, by the way, and Dragunov looked awesome. After that, you know, a lot of outside-the-ring stuff. I will bring up that they are continuing the feud between Tyler Bate and Noam Dar, which I like because I think their match is going to be incredible when it happens. Those two guys are ultra-talented. They're around the same size, which will be a lot of fun to watch, too, because normally you see Tyler Bate in big matches against much larger opponents. And Noam Dar has just been solid the whole time he's been in the company. But we're pretty used to seeing him against, you know, other cruiserweights, you know, sized guys. So I think this is going to be a really good match when it happens. And also worth pointing out that they've been doing some good interviews with Ben Carter. And online I've seen some good video packages, you know, him training at the Performance Center. Because he was trained in the United States, but now he's in NXT UK, so he's getting to learn like all this British wrestling from these British, you know, legends and stuff. So it's cool to see kind of his progress, because I've talked about it a lot. I really think that Ben Carter versus Walter for the NXT UK heavyweight title sometime in the next few months, I think would be just absolutely incredible. I'd love to see them headline one of their special events. After that, we had Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams defeating Oliver Carter and Ashton Smith. Got the win with, there was like something going on the outside and Oliver got pinned by Jordan. So it was like stuff on the outside, fighting on the inside, then, you know, a pin, 1-2-3, Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams get the W there. And in the main event, in a match that I think a lot of people were really looking forward to, we had Kaylee Ray retaining the NXT UK Women's Championship over Miko Satomura. And I know that, you know, Satomura came in with a lot of hype, and this was very, very good. And I like the finish a lot here, too. So basically what happens here is Kaylee Ray is going for a Gory Bomb. Satomura hits a Code Red, which is one of my favorite moves in wrestling. We were talking about Amazing Red earlier on this show. He's the one who really popularized that move. And Rey Mysterio did it a lot on WWE after he saw Amazing Red do it. I'll just throw that out there. And John Cena also credits Amazing Red for the move because he uses it every now and then. Just saying. But we saw Satomura hit a Code Red out of a Gory Bomb as a reversal. And then they kind of go back and forth. And then Kaylee Ray hits the Gory Bomb, her finisher, for the 1-2-3. So good stuff, good match. I I predicted that Kaylee Ray would retain. I was asked this question on my live chat with on Jesse Davin's YouTube channel. If you want to watch that, I was asked that question live on YouTube the other day, and I predicted that Kaylee Ray would retain, and I was correct in my prediction. I think that Satomura is a really great signing for the WWE, and I could see her in NXT UK and then like the actual NXT main roster and stuff. I think she'll kind of jump around until she finds like a permanent home. I don't think she's going to be like super long term in NXT UK. That's just a hunch of mine. So I think it makes sense for Kaylee Ray to retain. And Kaylee Ray has been a great champion. There was no reason to take the belt off of her. And this was a great showing by Satomura, and it'll get her more, get the NXT UK fan base more familiar with her. So, you know, no problems here at all. And, you know, Kaylee Ray with the win. After that, we have 205 Live. Had two matches here. And this is kind of a good point I can make in comparison to Ring of Honor and MLW, for instance. MLW and Ring of Honor both had multiple title matches, and because of that, I think more people are going to be inclined to go out of their way to check out those shows, even if they don't normally watch them. 205 Live, I think, should include the Cruiserweight Championship more often, because these are good matches. All the talent on 205 Live is a lot of fun to watch, and they're all great in the ring. But when there's shows like this, there's just not a ton of consequence to them, so a lot of people, I don't think, feel like they need to go out of their way to watch the show. Now, that being said, the matches were very good. We had August Gray and Jake Atlas defeating Tony Nese and Ari Daivari in the opener. The finish came when August Gray hit So Much Prettier for the 1-2-3, hit it on Tony Nese. Love that move. It's like impaler slash unprettier, but Anthony Green, or not, he used to be called Anthony Green on the indies. August Gray like runs up the ropes and like hits it off the top. It's really, really nice. And, you know, good stuff here. I think that August Gray and Jake Atlas should beat Tony Nese and Ari Daivari right now. They're both being built. I think that August Gray could very well challenge for the Cruiserweight title sometime soon. I think it's looking more and more like Mansoor will be the next challenger, you know, up to bat. But Jake Atlas has been very much in the mix too. And Tony Nese and Daivari are better served right now as kind of gatekeepers anyways. They're guys that are going to have solid matches on a consistent basis, but they are probably better served right now to put over the next generation of these talents. So no problem at all with that opener. And once again, I love August Gray's finisher. And in the main event, the only other match that we had, Mansoor, who I just mentioned, defeated Curt Stallion, got the win with his slingshot neckbreaker for the 1-2-3, and his streak is continuing. I mean, undefeated, just doing great stuff. NXT UK, 205 Live. It'd be interesting to see him in NXT UK for some matches, though. And they've done a great job protecting Mansoor. The only issue I have with it at all is I don't think they have any clue what to do with Curt Stallion right now. I mean, I think it's more and more clear that he's, you know, going to become more and more of a heel. But it's one of those things, like, they built Stallion up really well for the most part, for his title shot against Santos Escobar. And now he's been taking some L's and kind of been in the background. And so, you know, as a massive Curt Stallion fan, I hope they figure out something interesting to do with him going forward, because I really want to see him pushed, especially if it's going to be 205 Live. Or, you know, I'd like to see him on NXT on Wednesdays. But Mansoor, once again, no issue here. They've done a great job protecting him. He is getting better and better in the ring. And I think that Mansoor versus Santos Escobar would be very interesting for the title. And given Mansoor's undefeated streak, I could see him maybe even winning. But if I'm making a prediction, I still think Santos Escobar would retain as of the time of this recording. But once again, two solid matches from 205 Live, but nothing of real consequence. Unless you're like heavily invested in Mansoor's winning streak, then outside of that, I'm not, you know, there's just not a whole lot to go out of your way for here. But once again, if you want to see two just really solid matches, check it out. NXT UK and 205 Live, both available on the WWE Network. I'm going to hit you real quick with some GCW results. This was from their Take Care show that happened last night. So at the time of this recording, this is Sunday the 7th. This happened on Saturday the 6th. These are the results for the show. We had a no ropes barbed wires match with Jimmy Lloyd defeating G-Raver. That's a feud that's been going on for quite a while in GCW. So Jimmy Lloyd getting a big win there over G Raver. We had Mance Warner defeating Charles Mason. Calvin Tankman defeated Braden Lee. We talked about Calvin Tankman quite a bit for MLW, doing great things also in GCW. And also shout out real quick to Mance Warner. I've said it 1,000 times. I feel like it's like any day now we'll find out that he's signed to AEW or WWE or somewhere, because Mance is like been one of those next guys up for quite a while now. We had Atticus Coger defeating Effie. Big fan of both of those guys. I think Atticus has serious upside as a babyface. He's a great heel and he's great with 440. But I think if he turned babyface and if he went after Ricky Shane Page, I think that he would be a super over babyface. And Effie, always out there doing his thing, and you know, huge shout out to him. He's carved out a great career for himself and doing big things on Twitch now also. We had Alex Colon defeating Nolan Edward. Alex Colon, you know, basically, you know, deathmatch legend. And Nolan Edward, a guy who's trying to become a young version of these guys. I mean, Nolan Edward's out there seemingly everywhere. He wrestles for like every company at this point, whether it's straight up, you know, straight up wrestling matches, or it's the most hardcore of all death matches that you can imagine. Nolan Edward is down, and he's a name that if you're not familiar with, you need to become familiar with soon, because Nolan Edward is everywhere right now. We had Tony Deppen defeating Ken Broadway. Tony Deppen, one of the best wrestlers in the independents. Feel like we're going to be hearing his name very soon as a signee to a major company. We had Jordan Oliver defeating AJ Gray. Two of my favorite guys in the indies. Jordan Oliver, we talked about quite a bit already today. AJ Gray, the current Bone Storm champion for Southern Underground Pro, my favorite independent company in the world. Sup Graps. So AJ Gray, huge fan of his. Does great stuff with Black Label Pro and Glory Pro and everywhere he wrestles for the culture, everything. AJ Gray, former GCW champion. A lot of people don't realize he beat Ricky Shane Page for the title. Or sorry, geez, he beat Nick Gage for the title. That's right. AJ Gray beat Nick Gage for the title. And then in the same night, Ricky Shane Page beat AJ Gray. So AJ's reign lasted like a few minutes. And ever since, RSP has reigned as the champion. So yeah. And speaking of that, he had a title match on this show too. We had an Alley Cat Open Meowlinge match where Alley Cat defeated Eli Everett. Alley Cat, in my opinion, one of the best female wrestlers in the world and probably the best feline wrestler in the world. I feel like it's just a matter of time before we hear that she's signed as well, because she's so talented that I'm really surprised that she hasn't been signed yet. And Levi Everett brings something totally different to the table. He's a great character. He's very good in the ring. The whole Amish thing it's just very different, and he does a great job with it. Very big fan. In the main event, I mentioned RSP, we had Ricky Shane Page defeating Joey Janela to retain the GCW championship. And, you know, the big long-term story for the GCW title, and I feel like I don't need to go over who Joey Janela and Ricky Shane Page are. You know, RSP, one of the best independent wrestlers in the world, a guy that is, it's really great to see him getting the notoriety that he's getting now, because he's been around for forever. And Joey Janela, bona fide legend of independent wrestling. We see him all the time on AEW now, and I think it's cool as hell that he's still involved with GCW. But the long-term story at play here with GCW has been Nick Gage, like, going after RSP, and I think that's eventually what will happen, is Nick Gage will beat RSP for that title. But I'm not gonna lie, like, I would love to see Atticus Coger be the one to beat RSP for that belt. I think that'd be an incredible story. But all signs really do point to Nick Gage, you know, defeating Ricky Shane Page at some point in the near future for that belt. All right, up next, we have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode, which was titled Back When You Were a Jobber. And that is in reference to the opening segment of the show for BTE. So we had Matt Jackson talking with his daughter, and she asks Matt if he found out who AEW has recently signed, and he mentions Sting, and the kids say that it's Paul White, the Big Show, and he starts having flashbacks from getting chokeslammed by the Big Show through a table back when he was, you know, enhancement talent for the WWE, and Matt's son reminds him about when he was a jobber. So that was really, really funny. That was really well done. After that, we see Kenny Omega opening a pack of WCW trading cards, and they were from 1991, and he goes through a bunch of them, a bunch of legends, and just really cool to see those old school WCW cards, because I'm a huge mark for WCW. And then he shows off his new custom Nikes that have his Omega logo on them, which was really cool. Then we saw Matt Hardy. He's talking to Isaiah Cassidy and TH2, and he's basically getting them to help him against Dark Order. So that's kind of what that's all about right now. After that, we had John Silver and Alex Reynolds. They're trying to find Sting. The previous week, they thought they had found Sting, and it was Serpentico and Luther, which I thought was hilarious. That made me actually laugh out loud that they confused Serpentico and Luther for Sting and Darby Allin. Just, that was so funny. They're trying to find Sting, so like they're doing his call, and I can't remember what all they say. They're trying to do the woo, but they're like saying a bunch of different things, and eventually they get it right. And they wind up running into Eddie Kingston, and Silver keeps confusing Eddie Kingston for Sting. Like, they think that it's Sting without his face paint on, and then Eddie Kingston gives him like this whole speech, and then it all basically turns into, you know, it's basically Eddie Kingston talking to them about Hangman Page, but then the conversation gets all sidetracked. After that, we see Dark Order Kai, which is like the Cobra Kai ripoff they've been doing with the Dark Order, and Alex Abrahantes and Proud and Powerful and all them. And basically, they're just teasing more stuff and saying that Abrahantes says he's going to embarrass Dasha and those guys more than they've ever been embarrassed before. I just couldn't care less about that whole story. And speaking of that, same thing here. We had Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose. They are doing dance auditions still, and then Ryzen, who's like the demonic pastor or whatever, his gimmick is like a demonic preacher, pastor, religious guy, and they wind up recruiting him, and they do like a slow walk scene where like the three of them are walking down the hallways together. Once again, I couldn't care less about that. After that, we have... Okay, that's right. The Dark Order has Five in a hot tub, and it's because Five had been thrown through the table on Dynamite, or through the stage, off the stage through a table, I should say. Basically, they all just make fun of... They're all calling him Shrimp Dick, basically. Hangman's making fun of him. The Dark Order, they're making fun of the size of his penis the whole time that he's in this hot tub. And, like, they're trying to be nice to Five, but then they're still just making fun of his penis the whole time. And after that, we see a clip of the Young Bucks' dad, Papa Buck, Papa Massey, getting beat up and put into an ambulance after Jericho and MJF attacked him. They're at the hospital. The Good Brothers are talking to Brandon Cutler, and Brandon Cutler is, like, asleep in between the two of them. And Gallows and Anderson are talking a bunch, like, they're talking about Viagra jokes and stuff I can't really do justice to. And then basically they're joking, or not even joking, about how they're going to slip a Viagra, and they're basically going to dose Brandon Cutler with Viagra. So this was a pretty missable episode of Being the Elite again this week. It's been like that for weeks now at this point. I'm being totally honest. I want to give you an honest opinion and review of these shows. There was some stuff that was good, but most of it was a miss again this week. And once again, that's how it's been the last handful of weeks now. So we'll see where it goes, but I'll continue to cover it here on the Weekender for you. And before we get out of here, I'm going to give you some quick predictions for AEW Revolution. It happens tonight, Sunday, March the 7th, tonight. I'm really looking forward to this show. I'm having some people over to watch it. I am pumped up. If you want my detailed predictions, I recorded them on Jesse Davin's YouTube channel. So that's YouTube. Just search JESSIDAVIN. And if you want to subscribe to my Fight Talk podcast feed, I upload all the audio for all of those shows there as well. So if you want detailed predictions, check those out. But I'll give you some quick ones right now. I'm going to say Riho and Thunder Rosa defeat Britt Baker and Rebel. I'm going to take Uno and Grayson as the tag team to win the Casino Battle Royal. I'm going to take Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor over Miro and Kip Sabian. I'm going to take whoever the mystery entrant is in the ladder match. So we have Cody, Scorpio Sky, Penta, Archer, and Max Caster announced. I'm going to say it's whoever the mystery person is. But if it was someone in the match, I'd say Penta, just kind of surprise element. And I think Penta versus Darby on Dynamite this week would be really good for the belt. But I'm going to say it's the TBA, the to be announced. I'm going to go with Hangman over Matt Hardy, even though I think storyline-wise, Matt Hardy winning probably makes more sense. But I'm going to say Hangman gets the win because I think Dark Order helps him out after Matt Hardy probably gets help from his crew. I'm going to say Shida defeats Mizunami to retain the Women's Championship. I'll take Darby Allin and Sting over Team Taz. I'm going to take the Young Bucks to retain the tag team titles over the Inner Circle, the team of MJF and Jericho. And I'm going to take Kenny Omega to retain the AEW World Championship by defeating Jon Moxley in an exploding barbed wire death match. I am so pumped for that show. Hope y'all tune in and hope y'all enjoyed this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast, because that's going to do it. I've been Steven Jensen. Once again, jump on independentwrestling.tv and watch for free for 5 days. Get yourself a 5-day free trial over there. Use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHT, no spaces, one word, 5 days free on IWTV. Also, make sure to follow me on Twitter at FIGHTTALK _ FIGHT TALK _. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.